This is Scorebook Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller. Dan Dickow is with me during this somber time in the sports world after news broke Sunday that Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna Bryant, were among nine killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. It's rocked the sports world over the last 24 hours now. Will have a long-lasting effect. I was driving down I-5 home from Seattle when I heard the news. Dan, first off, thanks for joining me. Where were you when you heard this news yesterday, and what was your immediate reaction?
Yeah, I was at my house. We were just kind of having a kind of a relaxing Sunday with our family, and all of a sudden, you know, I've got phone in my pocket, and there's some notifications on social media going off. I'm getting text messages, and you kind of look down and you're like, whoa, is this true? And then you start searching the internet, you start scrolling through social media even more, and come to find out more places are now reporting it, and you just get this awful sinking feeling in your stomach. I'm the same age as Kobe was, 41. He came out of high school a year before me, went straight to the NBA, played against him a number of times in the NBA. And, he was just one of those guys that, just was different than everybody else because of the skill, because of the determination, because of his, work ethic, and because of the accomplishments that he had. And then when he retired, how he was giving back to the game in so many different ways, his series with ESPN Detail, the way he was pouring into his daughter in her basketball future and her teammates' career. A day later, I'm sick to my stomach. It's hard. And again, I didn't know him very well. We had, a few conversations here and there. But competed against him, and the fact that he's so young is just crazy.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of different ways we could go with this. We got up a post on the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, yesterday, sharing some of the reactions of folks in the high school basketball world in Washington and, players in the NBA with high school basketball ties here in the state. Isaiah Thomas, who started Curtis High School, shared a heartfelt post-game reaction yesterday. There were just so many of those. But many of today's players, NBA, college, high school, had their basketball experience shaped by Kobe, largely. And there's been just so much numbness and shock across the country. And beyond the world of sports, I mean, he won an Oscar for a documentary short, not 2 years ago. But I'm interested, Dan, in some of your experiences playing with him. What was that like, sharing the court with somebody who carried as much gravitas as he did?
Well, I think the thing for me is, I mentioned he's the same age as I am, or was 41. We kind of both grew up in that era where Michael Jordan was the guy, and then Kobe kind of took that mantle from Jordan, and then LeBron has kind of taken that mantle from Kobe and ran with it. So there are always certain guys in sports that are kind of head and shoulders looked up to as role models, as mentors, and he would definitely be that guy. I mean, if you had Kobe's approval, that meant something, and it meant that you approached the game the right way and you played hard and you were a competitor. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people who played with and against him would say is if you competed, if you gave it your all, Kobe loved to have you as a teammate, or he loved to compete against you. And I think that's a great thing to take and remember about his approach to the game. I think a couple stories really quickly on the floor that come to mind playing against him. There's three stories in particular that come to mind. My second year in the NBA with the Portland Trail Blazers, it would have been, in April of 04. So the Blazers, I believe it was the last game of the regular season. It's a tight game. Blazers, we were up 84-87, I believe is what it was, with regulation winding down, and Kobe drills like a deep three over the top of Reuben Patterson to force overtime. And then we get to overtime, and Kobe absolutely takes over. It ended up being a 2-overtime game. Kobe hit multiple big threes down the stretch. And then in overtime, he made, big plays to obviously then win the game. That was just a moment where you look at a guy just absolutely took over the game. He forced overtime, and then in the second overtime, he made another three kind of as the game clock was winding down. I know it was under a second left when the double overtime game winner went off, and it was just like, did he just do that? I mean, there's certain guys that can do it, and he was one of them. Another stint with the Blazers, he had 65 points against us, and I remember, coming to – I didn't play many minutes that game. I want to say maybe 7-8 minutes that game, but matched up against him a couple times. But then in the huddles, we're doing everything we can to stop him, and it didn't matter. I mean, 65 in an NBA game is 65, and this was an era where, it wasn't up and down. It wasn't fast paced. 65 back then would have been about 85 now in the way the game's played. Couple interactions I had with him, playing with New Orleans in my third year in the league, and I'm really finally getting a chance to play. And we ran what's called a Princeton offense. So it's kind of there's a lot of timing to it. There's a lot of spacing. There's a lot of cutting that has to be done. And Kobe, knowing the game as well as he does and studying the opponents, he's just waiting his time for me to make a mistake as a point guard entering the ball in the offense. And he got me. he got a steal. I think he went down and scored a layup in transition. And then shortly thereafter, there's a dead ball. And Kobe walks right up to me. He's standing there. I think it was a free throw. And he's like, hey, Dan, come on now. You're better than that. I know you're better than that. You know you're better than that. I read your eyes the whole time. I knew exactly what you were going to do. And I just looked at him. I shook my head. And I was like, well, what do I say? I said, you're right. You're right. And, it just kind of some guys know the game so much better than others. And he was that. Other stories that are coming out right now talk about his dedication to the game and his work ethic and what he would do to prepare. I felt I always had a tremendous work ethic. A lot of times I would get to the arena well before the current team that I was on. So every team would have two buses that goes to the arena. On occasion, I would take a cab an hour before and get shots up. Well, I did that in L.A. one time. So I get there maybe at 4:15, 4:30 for a 7:30 game, and I walk out on the floor to get shots up, and Kobe's just finishing his workout, drenched in sweat, 3 hours before a game. And those are the kind of things that, a lot of people are making comments of. How he's poured into his second career ventures since he's been done playing. But the big thing that comes back to me is the fact that, whatever he was doing at that moment in time, he attacked it with reckless passion and abandon, whether it was playing and now whether it was, producing of different things, or whether it was being a dad and coaching his daughter. So it was a difficult day yesterday for me, and I didn't even really know him that well. I know it's a difficult day for the world of basketball because he was a legend, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, whether you're a basketball player, an electrician, a plumber, you can't cheat the process. And Kobe, it seemed like, really embodied that, and your stories back that up. Kobe talked about how after he retired from the NBA, his relationship with basketball changed. His daughter, Gianna, Gigi, who tragically was in the helicopter that went down yesterday, she was 13. She was considered one of the budding prospects around the nation as I believe, an eighth grader. Really into AAU scene and loved basketball and seemed to be a student of the game in a similar way that her dad was. And he talked about how that helped him fall back in love with the game, or at least reimmerse himself in the game. And I'm wondering, Dan, when you retired and when you moved on from your playing career, you have kids who play basketball. What impact did their basketball careers and just your relationship with your kids, can you relate to that notion that, that Kobe's talking about kind of re-immersing himself in the game?
Yeah, to a certain extent I can, you know, and we were in different ends of the spectrum because for a guy like Kobe, you have the ability to pick and choose when your career's over, and he's earned that because he was so darn good. So kind of he knows when it's coming to an end. For a guy like myself who kind of scratched and clawed and grinded out at a career, you don't know when contract opportunities are going to end and when nobody wants you on your team anymore. And it's a difficult thing to accept and kind of move on to the next phase a lot of times. I don't play a lot of pickup basketball to this day. And a lot of it is because, and this, I don't want this to sound bad. There's just, to me, there's not as much meaning to the game. You're not playing in such a competitive environment. And I think one of the ways that I've really kind of gotten that basketball fix is by, you know, coaching my son's team here in Spokane. And by running my basketball academy here in Spokane, just as I did in Vancouver when I was done, where, you know, you get a chance to impart some of the knowledge that I've accumulated on the game over the years, you know, to kids that want to hear, you know, I just think, you know, for somebody like Kobe and the amount of knowledge that he has, and the way that he was beginning to share it with his daughter, the way that he was sharing it with her team. And then when you look at kind of some of the things he did with other college and NBA players in the last couple summers, he was going to definitely have an impact on the next round of basketball players and how they viewed the game, how they played the game, how they looked at the game, and how they prepared for the game. You know, so I think that's, you know, something that is definitely something to be mindful of and the impact that he had.
After the news yesterday, a longtime friend called me up and said, hey, we want to pick up tickets to the Blazer game tonight. And so we got kind of nosebleeds last second just to see what they would do, how the NBA would react. And they honored him with letting a 24-second shot clock go. And just a really... it was a really weird environment inside of the Moda Center, as I'm sure it was in a lot of different sports arenas yesterday. On the site, we talked about in the post kind of detailing how the Washington High School basketball community has reacted. The reaction that perhaps stands out the most is that of Cashmere standout Haley Van Lith. Van Lith, who Todd Millis, a colleague, and I saw play in Seattle on Saturday. Just over 2 weeks ago, they were playing a game in Kashmir, and Kobe, his daughter, who had trained with Van Lith, really looked up to her, flew out to the Wenatchee area and went and saw one of their games, a 1A basketball game in the state of Washington. And yeah, that's something that we talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It was something that, you know, she, Van Lith, I'm sure, is never going to forget, and her interactions with him, as well as the community in Wenatchee, the surrounding community there. But I just want to share a little part of what Van Lith said in a post to Instagram yesterday. She just said, "I'm at a loss for words. I can only be thankful God gave me time to build a friendship and mentorship with both of you. Never have I seen a passion for life burn so bright in two individuals. Thank you for changing my life." That just showed kind of the reach he had into youth basketball and high school basketball today. Somebody who, if you're the age of you know, his daughter, if you're a high school student, you may not, your formative basketball years may not have been Kobe's prime. But he managed to affect the game in his post-career in ways that, in a short couple of years, in really impactful ways. So Dan, I appreciate you being here, and talking. It was fascinating to hear, your on-court stories with Kobe. I can't believe like how much players talk in those kinds of interactions in a game. Like, had you ever had a conversation with Kobe before he came up to you and said like, "Dan, I saw your eyes"?
Nothing, in depth at all. I mean, you come across guys in pregame warmups, hours before game begins. You know, you talk to them when you're lining up to start a game. You'll run into them in the tunnel, you know, before and after games. So I never really got to know Kobe on a level other than, hey, how's it going? You know, respectful level. You know, but when you're out on the court, he was an absolute competitor. You know, he would talk trash to anybody out there. But he would do it in a way that he was trying to get an edge. I mean, Kobe was, as everybody has probably seen the stories that have been coming out or has known for years, he was an absolute competitor, and he looked for absolutely any edge that he could find, whether it was, you know, a comment to set a seed in an official's mind, whether it was a comment to another coach, whether it was to a teammate or to an opponent. You know, he had complete command of what seemed like every single game and every situation on the basketball court.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being here, Dan. And as always, thanks to everyone who tuned in. If it's your first time listening or you're not already subscribed, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's new episode downloaded for free straight to your phone, tablet, or device. We're going to be back this week with a regularly programmed episode breaking down the WIA's newly released reclassifications, what will be the biggest changes around the state, and hoop storylines, and along with two more fantastic coaches interviews, two college coaches this time. Dan, you caught up with San Diego coach Sam Scholl and Carl Howell at Skagit Valley. So stay tuned. For Dan Dickow, I'm Andy Bueller. Until next time. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.